The following story has been brought to you by StoriesToInspire.org.
These three stories are all Pesach stories, and they have inspired me every time that I have told them, and they inspire those that hear them. Let me tell you the first one. It shows fabulous sensitivity of a great tzaddik that we all certainly heard of, and I had the schus to meet numerous times. His name was Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Over 500,000 people came to his levaya many years ago. He was a brother-in-law of Rav Shalom Shvadron, and that's how I got to know him. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman had a nephew called Michal, and a few days before Yontif, he said to his nephew, Michal, I want you to come to my home right after Biur Chometz. And Michal was surprised because, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they have only one day Yontif. It's not like us that have 2 days Yontif. So everything evolves around that first day Yontif. And Erev Yontif is a busy time. But if the Gadol Hador, his uncle, asked him to come Dafka right after Biur Chometz, he knew he had to be there. So, of course, he burned his chametz and then he ran to see what his great uncle wanted. And he was surprised because on the table by Rav Shlomo Zalman were 10 envelopes. They were all sealed and they were all named and addressed. And they had names and addresses on each one of them. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, Michal, I need you to deliver these Erev Yontif. Go right now and deliver them as soon as possible. Now, Michal is a tremendous Oskin, and he had raised a tremendous amount of money for many of the Nitzrochim in Yerushalayim. And when he quickly glanced at the names on the envelopes, he knew some of those names because he had brought them stucco before, and he had raised money for some of these on the inn. And he was surprised. He said, Uncle, or however he called him, he said, some of these people, I know that they already have money. Nobody's going out to buy matzah and wine Erev Yontif. And Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't answer. He just said, Michal, please do what I tell you and go and deliver these envelopes. Well, of course, as I said, Michal was very busy. So he went very quickly to house number one, house number two, house number three. He didn't stick around to see what was in the envelopes. He just had to deliver them. But the fifth guy opened the envelope right as soon as he got it, right as soon as he knew that it was from Rav Shlomo Zalman. And Michal took a look at it. What was in the envelope, he couldn't believe it. It was tickets to the Gan HaChayot, which is the biblical zoo, which is in Yerushalayim. What in the world was Rav Shlomo Zalman sending these people, Erev Pesach, that was so important, tickets to the Gan HaChayot? And besides, there was some cash in there as well. Well, now when he came to the sixth home, he waited for the guy to open up the envelope, and it's again the same thing. Tickets to the Gan HaChayot, the biblical zoo, plus some cash. Well, he couldn't understand this, but whatever it was, he certainly wasn't going back Erev Yontif to ask Rav Shlomo Zalman. But the first day, Chol HaMoed, he went right after davening in the morning. He went to his uncle and he said, please, please, could the Rav explain why was it so important to give envelopes with tickets to the Gan HaChayot and some cash to all these families? Listen to what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. You'll see greatness. He said, I know the children of Yerushalayim. On Yontif, they'll all be talking about the trips that they are taking with their parents on Chol HaMoed. Now, there'll be some kids in shul whose parents couldn't afford to take them any place. And you know how miserable they're going to feel? That other kids are able to go places and they can't. When children would see that and hear that, they'd go home and complain to their parents. And not only would it ruin the children's Simchas Yontif, but it would also ruin the Simchas Yontif of the parents, because the parents would feel guilty that they can't take their children anyplace. He said, I wanted every one of these families that the children should know they also have a place to go, and it's a beautiful place to go. And like this, he gave the tickets and some cash to all these families so that those families and their children would have a Simchas Yontif. How great is that? And that's what the Rambam tells us in Hilchas Megillah. There's nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's so important as making those people who don't have to make sure that they feel good over Yontif. And that's exactly what Rav Shlomo Zalman was doing. That's the first story. I want to tell you the second story, which was told to me by the person to whom it happened. Now, in April of 1945, after the Second World War was over, the Skolena Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer Zisha, Portugal, was in a place called Chernovitz in Bukovina. That was part of Romania, but it was being controlled by the Soviet Union. And we know today, as I am making this video presentation, how terrible it can be when you're under the auspices of the Soviet Union. We know what's going on in Ukraine. So they, in Romania, were under the Soviet Union. And the Jews were nervous, but Rav Eliezer Zisha Portugal, the Sklena Rebbe, wanted to be sure that those who had come back from the war, and there were many Rabbanim that had come back to Romania, they were going to leave eventually, but now they were there, that they would have matzahs for Yontif, at least some matzahs. So he had a chassid by the name of Fishel Terpel, and he said to Fishel, please go out and get some wheat, and we're going to mill it, we're going to make flour, and we're going to have matzahs, and we're going to give it out to those Rabbanim that came back from the war. Not everybody survived, but those that are here in Chernovitz, in Bukovina, we're going to give them 3 matzahs each. And that's what happened. They put together some wheat, and they milled it, and they ground it, and made flour, and they put together matzahs. And then some of the Rabbanim came, some of them sent shlichim, because they knew that the Sklena Rebbe was giving out matzahs. Now, there was a Rebbe, his name was the Seret Vizhnitzer Rebbe. His name was Rav Baruch Hager. He also was there in Romania at the time. And he had an 8-year-old boy, Moshe. Now, Moshe eventually became the Seret Vizhnitzer Rebbe in Haifa. And I spoke to him when he was an adult. He's the one who told me the story. Because when he was 8 years old, his father, Rav Baruch Hager, told him, go to the Sklena Rebbe because he's giving out matzahs. So the little boy goes, just like his father sent him, and he says, Rebbe, I just want to give the Rebbe regards from my father, the Seret Vizhnitzer Rebbe. And the Sklena said, oh, your father's such a tzaddik, please give him my warmest regards. And he gave him 3 matzahs. The little boy told me, little Moshele, looked at the Rebbe and said, my father told me that you're giving 3 matzahs, but he would like to have 6. And the Sklena Rebbe said, 6 matzahs? I can't give 6 matzahs. If I give 6 matzahs to you, I won't have for other people. I don't have enough to give to everybody. He said, what should I do? My father insisted that I can't leave unless you give me 6 matzahs. What could the Sklena Rebbe do? The Seret Vizhnitzer Rebbe was a tremendous tzaddik. So the Sklena Rebbe said, okay, if that's what your father wants, I'll give it to you. And he said, don't forget, give him my warmest regards. He's a very special person, your father. And that's what he did. The little boy told me, he told it to me, of course, when he was an adult. I called him a Haifa, and he used these matzahs. He actually brought the matzahs to his father. Now listen to this. Erev Pesach, Rav Baruch Hager sent the 8-year-old boy Moshe back with 3 matzahs to the Rebbe. Erev Yontif, he comes into the Sklena Rebbe's house, and he says, my father said I should give you these 3 matzahs. What do you mean? You're making a joke? I told you in the beginning that I couldn't give you the 6 matzahs. I wouldn't have enough for everybody. And you took 6. Your father said he wanted 6. And now you're giving me back 3. What is the meaning of this? Listen to what the little boy said to the Rebbe in the name of his father. He said, my father knew. And he said to me that there's no question, because you, the Sklena Rebbe, are such a tzaddik, that you would give out the best matzahs to everyone, and you wouldn't have perfect matzahs for yourself. And my father knew that you would give him perfect matzahs. So he took 3 extra matzahs and saved it just right before Pesach to bring it back to you, so you would have the perfect matzahs that you were giving to others. And you know something? What's so great about that is because the Sklena Rebbe was thinking about everybody else, and the Seret Vizhnitzer Rebbe was thinking about him. That's greatness. Those, I can tell them, they don't think only about themselves, they're thinking about others. The third story I want to tell you happened right here in this house where I am making this. I'm making this video presentation in my living room, and this happened right in the other room, right here in the dining room. It happened more than 20 years ago. We were sitting at the Seder table. I was leading the Seder with my children and some of my grandchildren. And at that time, I had a 4-year-old grandson. Today, Baruch Hashem, he's married with 2 little kids himself. But this story goes back, like I say, more than 20 years. It's a little boy, Avram Zalek Pfeiffer. And just as we're about to say Vehisha Omda, and that's a very happy time in the Seder, everybody picks up the case of wine and we sing together. And my little grandson comes over to me. You know, he couldn't follow the whole Seder, so he's running from room to room. And he comes in and he says, Zadie, can I sit on your lap? Any of you out there that will be Zadies or Bubbies When your grandchild asks you, can I sit on your lap? You know you're going to say yes, right? So I picked up the case with my right hand because I'm a righty. And I picked up my little boy, my grandson, on my left lap. And we began singing Vahishamda. And as we began singing, I looked at the words. And somehow the words struck me as they had never struck me before. And suddenly, tears came to my eyes. And I started crying. And everybody's looking at me. What is he crying about? This is such a happy time of the Seder. And I'll tell you why I was crying. Because I said these words. Not only one nation is trying to get rid of us. In every generation, they're trying to get rid of us. And I was thinking, but isn't it enough? We lost 6 million in the war, right? And we lost over 30,000 soldiers already in Eretz Yisrael. When does it end? It never stops. And that's what the Baal HaGad is telling us. That's terrible. That's why I was crying, because I was thinking, what's going to be with this kid? And what's going to be with all the kids his age? What does the future hold for them? And of course, I tried not to look up. I didn't want anybody to see me crying. And we finished singing the song. I wiped my tears and we went on. I didn't say a word about it. I didn't want to ruin the ambiance and the atmosphere of the Seder. But after the Seder, I took out every single Haggadah that I had. And I had to find somebody that says something that would give me some consolation. And I found the Haggadah of the Chidah, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azoloy, the great Sephardic Tzaddik. And you know what he writes? He asks a question. He says, what did the Baal HaGadah mean? What do you mean, Shebechold Oredar Emdim Aleinu L'chal Yisenu? What does that mean? It's not so. Not every generation were they trying to kill us. In America, Baruch Hashem, we're flourishing. We have yeshivas, kollels, beis yankos. Twice already we had over 90,000 people at MetLife Stadium for the Siyum HaShas. Yidden lived hundreds of years in other countries, whether it was in Poland or Lithuania, and they survived. And then, unfortunately, at the end, it was terrible. But it's not Shebechold Oredar. And the Chidah is a fabulous answer. And he says, you know what the Baal HaGadah is telling you? It's not the sword. It's the smile. When you think things are good, and take a look in America today, we have worse assimilation than we ever had before. We're losing so many Jews. Why? Because of the smile. Because every person, if they're not religious, they can get a job any place. They can go to any college, any bar. They can mix with the Goyim. And it's the smile. You get along with the Goyim. You begin to dance like them and sing like them and act like them and think like them. And that's what the Baal HaGadah is telling us. Behold over there, be careful. Tell your children, be careful. It's not only the sword, it's the smile. When you feel so comfortable with the Goyim in the same neighborhood and the same planes and the same trains and same elevators, you have to be careful. That's what the Baal HaGadah is telling us. I felt much better. The threat I felt, at least we're aware of it. We could be aware of it and be careful. Now, all of you know, or many of you know, that I am a mile. That was the first night of Pesach. Chol HaMoed Pesach. I went out to do a bris in Suffolk County, a town called Mount Sinai, of all places. The father was not Jewish. He was an Italian guy. But the mother was Jewish. The mother was Jewish, and that's why her parents wanted that their grandson should have a bris. And of course, the child is Jewish, so of course, I did the bris. Now, I wish I would have had a camera. Because right after the bris, when I finished, I turned around, and on the table, there was food that they were going to serve. Listen to this. There was a blue box of Horowitz Margaret and Matzahs, a plate of bagels, a meat platter, and a cheese platter. Every aveira you could think of. Chametz, matzah, bosa, b'chalov, kosher, non-kosher. What is going on here? How did a bris like this happen? What does Eliyahu HaNavi think about a bris like this? What does Hashem think about a bris like this? How did this happen? Matzah, chametz, bagels, meat, cheese, what's going on here? You know what the answer is? Because of the smile in America, not the sword. Because the mother could get along and go in any place where she met non-Jewish people and became so friendly with them, and she ended up marrying. That's horrible. That's what the Chidah is telling us. And that's the lesson of this third story. We must show a pride and a love of Yiddishkeit. That even though we live in Golis, no matter where we live in America, any place in any country, we're in Golis. And you got to be careful, because sometimes in Golis, they're very nice to us. But when they're very nice, you got to be careful. That's the lesson. Let's give on this Yontif a pride and show that we love to do mitzvahs. And we love each other and we care for each other. If we have that achdus, the way Rav Shlomo Zalman had for those poor children, and we think about those that have less than us, and we think about the Sklener Rebbe, how he went out to help others, even in difficult times, that's how we become great Yidden. Hashem should bless all of us, that this month of Nisan should taka be the month of Geula. We should be able to all go to Eretz Yisrael, finish with the Golus, and be together with Mashiach, B'mehrav Yameinu.
Enjoyed this story? Come again. Bring a friend. StoriesToInspire.org